I'm Jan Suk Fong Lee.
And I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hello.
Are we breaking up?
No, we're not. Hi, Jen.
Oh,
hi, Jen. Hi, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Dina.
But Jen and I are here to talk about taking a break.
Do you need to take a break?
Do you need to take a break?
Do you need to eat a Peakphreen and have a tea?
Do you need a Kit Kat?
Jen, how do you feel about Kit Kats?
I don't love them.
Have you had...
I'm a score bar lady.
Have you had a green tea Kit Kat?
Yes, I have.
Those are good.
They're pretty good.
That's like a high-level Kit Kat.
Yeah.
I used to love Score, but because I have such bad teeth, I've really distanced myself.
They're hard on the teeth, and might I recommend, because
I got too many crowns for this.
Might I recommend if you need a break? It's mooncake season in October.
That's very true.
And there are some really delicious different kinds of mooncakes now. You can get green tea mooncake. You can get like beautiful like lotus vanilla mooncake.
Where would you suggest people get the best mooncakes?
My favorite place for mooncakes is Maxim's Bakery in Chinatown.
Okay.
Yeah. They have real traditional ones, though. I like the traditional ones best. Your red bean.
Yeah.
Your white lotus.
You know I love red bean.
I love a white lotus. That's my favorite.
Okay.
They have a white lotus with like almond slivers in it. That's very delicious.
Great. I mean, tomorrow I might need to make a trip out.
You might.
This is making me want a mooncake very bad.
Take a break. Eat a mooncake.
So we're here to talk about breaks. And I know I've talked about this before, but I haven't written very much in the past year and a half or so. And over all the past few years, I've really slowed down. And I know I've also talked about this, but it's the first time I don't have a serious project. And it's the first time I don't have overlapping projects. It's the first time I don't have something started when I've finished another project. And I don't like this feeling. It's very difficult. It's hard for me to focus. The next thing isn't in front of me. And after I finished It's a Big Deal, I was like, how did this happen? How did I let this happen to me? The person who publishes every couple of years. And this is talking like, I am not a person that is getting big advances or I'm being paid a lot of money. Like, I just was productive of my own interest.
Yeah.
Which is something that we can talk about overall, but you know, I wasn't necessarily, I'm not someone who is like paid to be a writer. So I just was lucky to get published in a lot of ways and things happened for me, but also I didn't have the pressure to keep going because I make money other ways. So we also took a break from the podcast, as you know, in July, because we needed time off. And what happened was a guest had to cancel and we just rolled with it. So someone was sick and we both have somewhat difficult schedules to navigate.
Somewhat, yes. Yep.
It's not, I mean, obviously we still make things happen, but I talked to Jen and I really felt guilty about it and the pressure that I put on myself to not stop. And it just initially felt to me like a failure.
That's my first question.
Yeah. And so to not release an episode for the first time felt bad, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I'm just very achievement and work focused. So anyway, yeah, I guess I'm going to leave it there. Like, I don't think anyone needs a reason to take a break.
No.
And let's start there.
Let's start there.
That's my intro.
I mean, we were just saying as we were like preparing to record this is that I actually haven't had a vacation in about 3 years, which is difficult. And I feel it. You feel it. Like you feel like when you're not taking a break, you feel it in your body. You feel it in your bones. You feel it in your brain. And it's like a heavy weight to drag around. And then the question then arises, why haven't you? Well, it's time, but it's also guilt. So this is my question for you. Like, cause we did take that break and this is the first time I think I've really noticed you even taking a break in a long time. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how guilty did you feel about that break?
I think overall, I've just been developing a little bit more. I've been a little bit more anxious, a little bit lower overall. And I felt quite guilty at first.
Yeah.
But then in a lot of ways, it was lucky for me. Like it was summer. In summer, I feel overall entitled to more of my own time just because that's the time I like the most. But also because I've made choices over the past few years to take that time for myself as much as possible. So like, I try not to do a lot of events. I don't really attend any events for the most part. Like I only, not that I don't enjoy events, but I spend so much time doing them from like September to May that to me, it's a time that I need to kind of separate myself from that stuff.
Yeah.
But I did, I probably felt like a 7, which is still high. That's wasn't a 10, high. Yeah. But it was high. And you helped talk me down. And just overall, after talking to you, I had to realize that, you know, it was the right choice. It was a good choice. And it was a choice that I was allowed to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the guilt for me is interesting. Work breaks a little bit less, only because usually when I'm taking a work break, I've actually not taking a break from being a parent, which is again, its own other job.
Yeah.
And its own other set of, you know, working like tasks. But whenever I, let's just say, you know, my son goes away on holiday with his dad and I get 2 weeks or a week off, where I feel the most guilt is in taking a break from parenting. And I feel intense guilt about that. So much, so much. I don't like being away from Oscar. I don't like, and then what happens is that when he goes away with his dad, then that means I'm working, like I'm writing and I'm working. So like, when do I ever take a break? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing. Like, yeah. You know, I say I've taken a break, but what I really mean is from writing. Like, I'm not taking a break from the podcast. I'm not taking a break from editing the magazine.
No,
I'm
not
taking a break from the reading series. And I'm certainly not taking a break from teaching or working my day job.
No.
Like,
so they're not real breaks.
No, they're not.
No.
And I think part of the reason I wanted to talk about this subject is because I think, what does taking a break actually mean to us? And what does it look like on both a small and a large scale?
Yeah. What does it look like? And I mean, I think that we all do this thing, or we take pockets of time, 2 hours or 3 hours or however many hours we can carve out of a day. And that replenishes your stores enough for the next day, but it's never going to be enough. That's just like a scarcity situation. It's not you actually proactively taking care of yourself. And it's not, and then there's the other side of that for me is like, when I know I'm not taking care of myself, then I feel fucking guilty about that too.
Same.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, people can post all this meme-y shit on Instagram about like, self-care is this and self-care is great. And, you know, do this for yourself today. Look, I got a pedicure. And I'm like, well, fuck you. You know, and then also I don't feel like I haven't done it. Does that make me less of someone who cares for myself?
Yeah.
Or loves myself? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's true at all. And I think it's 100% fine if you need to take that care for yourself, whatever it looks like.
Yes.
But so much of it also then is like, and again, not that this is bad, but like some of that self-care is indulgence and some of it is survival. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to get a pedicure. I love a pedicure.
Who doesn't?
My feet are troll feet. They're disgusting. They need professional help. They are just really intense.
I mean, my feet are pretty gross too.
Yeah. They're long. The toenails are really strong. They grow fast. They could definitely cut somebody. It's not cool. Like, it's for safety that I need to maintain them. But I think the other side of self-care is like, looking at the things about ourselves we need to change and considering the things that we need to do for our bodies and our mental health and all of that entails as well. So it's not just these, you know, things that we can do for ourselves, which aren't bad, but it involves so much more. And I think for me, considering taking a break also includes like catching up on things that I have literally let slide in my life for years. And that's something overall that's concerned me in the last little while, especially like I was very sick. I had pneumonia. I had to go to urgent care. Like, it was much more serious than I let myself think it was. And when I got to the doctor was like, "You're very tough. Like, you should have definitely come in before this. This is very bad." And not taking a break, not taking that seriously. Like, yes, I was home resting, but all I was thinking about was I won't get to start classes on time. I won't get to teach my first class. I won't get to, we're supposed to be editing Poetry is Dead right now. Like, my brain was filled with obligations, which isn't bad. Like, I think honoring your obligations is important and great.
Yes, we should all be responsible.
We should, and people should not be shitty about that. There obviously are people that are, and that means that people who do take their responsibilities seriously have to do way more work. So pick up your fucking slack, dick knobs. But I also wasn't focusing on the actual part of being sick that I needed to do, which was resting, making sure that I was taking care of myself. So the break that I took while I was sick, I really had to put myself into a headspace to allow myself to do mostly nothing that was productive.
What does it mean that in order for us to take a break that we have to be really sick? Because that happened to me last winter.
I remember.
Yeah. So like what does that mean? In terms of the industry, like that we always have to be producing.
I have that here. That's one of my questions too.
Productivity is a real.
Yeah. The shame around not constantly producing as well. The shame, the guilt, all of these emotional constraints that we, you know, we push ourselves into these little boxes of thinking we have to do this stuff. And it's, I think it's just a really hard mental reworking that we have to do. And it's not easy depending on, you know, how you were raised and how you've also come to see yourself. Like part of this for me is my own self-image of who I am and who I am in the community. Like also who gives a fuck who I am in the community? Like no one is coming to me and like looking at me being like, Gina, this is who you are in the community. Okay. Like stop it.
I've made you some business cards.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, let's separate ourselves from this inflated sense
this
of self
identity like, that you absurd. Think you have.
Yeah. It's absurd.
Canlit will grind to a halt.
No, obviously it won't. No one gives two shits. So, going back to what I said earlier, like we really have to think about how no one has to have a reason to take a break and trying to remember that. So for me on a small scale, going back to what I originally kind of asked, it's telling myself, okay, well, you're going to just not do any work this day. You won't check your email. You won't respond to people. You won't do any work-related stuff. If that means you lie in a lump all day, that's fine. But if that means you want to socialize and hang out with friends all day and go for brunch and then go for lunch and then go for cocktails and then, you know, lie around, like it doesn't matter.
No.
But that kind of thing for me is just an overall break because when you have, like you do, multiple jobs, multiple responsibilities, the idea of taking a break sometimes has to take on this bigger idea. But being able to do just like a day for me feels like an accomplishment. Like I feel, I'm trying to make myself feel that too. Like, oh, I'm accomplished because I did nothing productive.
But then nothing productive is so value laden anyway. That term.
Of course it is.
Because resting is productive.
Like, yeah. And also socializing is productive.
All
seeing
that is
people
productive.
I love is productive. Yeah. Watching TV, super productive.
Making snacks for the podcast is very productive.
Eating those snacks is productive. You're right. Like I, even in that, my brain is still doing a shitty thing to myself.
This is what the idea of taking breaks and sort of the pressure cycle of like productivity and then rest and then productivity and rest is terrible for those of us who are driven by anxiety, which I think a lot of people are. Yeah. I think a lot of writers are driven by anxiety.
I will be honest. I've never been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, so I cannot truly speak to any of this.
Well, I have.
You have been.
And yeah, I will say,
giving you the floor.
Yeah, we can like this cycle of like, this is what you're expected to do. You're going to be productive for 50 weeks out of the year, and then you're going to take a break for 2 weeks out of the year, and then you're going to be productive again for 50 weeks out of the year. What a fucking nightmare that is for people with anxiety, because it's just the should, and I'm not hitting these markers.
Yeah.
I can't even take a break like a regular person.
Yeah.
I am a terrible person.
Yeah.
So that's where the anxiety is coming from.
Yeah, and I feel that too. Like I think taking a break from a specific project is a great choice.
Oh, you have to.
For your own brain.
Everybody
and
has
for the
to.
Project. Like it's good for both of those things.
It is.
It's good for the work. It's good for yourself. Because it is going to give you that clarity, right?
Yeah, you need
but
that fresh brain.
But also is going to give you just your own personal self and your body a friggin' break.
Yeah.
mental health, all of those things. But sometimes I find I am more stressed when I am not working on something creative. And I think that's partially also something we have to contend with, the idea that that's part of my life that I like doing. And when I don't have it in my life, I also feel bad. Not because of productivity, but because like it feels like not, if I haven't been able to socialize because I've been ill the last few weeks. Yeah. And it's really hurt me. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but like it made me feel bad. And I feel sometimes the same way about creative work, where like I feel bad because I miss doing it. I miss seeing the people I love. I miss the work that I love. And when I don't have something that I care about that I'm working on, I feel bad. So those are separate feelings that I also have to kind of contend with. In addition to feeling like taking a break is good, I also have to feel the feelings of like, I really miss caring about something that I'm personally working on, which is shitty. Like, it's shitty to have both of those things happening at the same time.
Yeah, because what do you do?
Yeah,
you don't, you can't, you're, there's nothing you can do to make either of those things, one is either going to be better and one's going to be worse.
Yeah, totally.
Or you just are paralyzed with your lack of choice, and then both of them feel terrible.
Yeah, it's complicated and weird.
Hey, being a writer is great. Taking breaks is great, even though it fills us with anxiety. Totally. Okay. So the thing about me is that I've been writing a lot over the last probably 5 years, writing quite a lot, not novels though, which is what everyone expects from me. So when people say things to me like, when's your next book coming out? I know they're not asking about the poetry book. I know they're not asking about the kids book. They're asking about a novel.
I don't know why people aren't asking about the poetry book. I will set a fiery poop on their lawn. It's rude.
It's rude.
If you only care about novels, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah. No, neither do I.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Rosie. She doesn't like it either.
She doesn't like, she's like, what the, look, she just woke up a little bit. She just gave me a stink eye. Look at her face. She's like a gremlin. Honestly,
she is a bit like a gremlin. Goonie.
I just like, her tail's wagging.
Loves being compared to a gremlin.
Yeah, I'm just like, I am a gremlin. I'm so great. I just feel like everyone keeps asking about a novel, and it's not going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, and like, get over it. But also it makes me very anxious.
Yeah, that's rude behavior.
It's rude.
But like, external pressure is only adding to the already, we've only talked about internal pressure. We haven't even gotten to this.
External pressure is, so here's the thing though, is that I always feel if I'm not writing a novel or like publishing a novel, that I'm not relevant anymore. And that's, I mean, it's bullshit.
I mean, I get it. This is why I feel irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you why know, you feel like, but this is what this industry is tied to, is how many books you produce, how many books you write,
how many novels you write,
how many novels you write. I could write all the kids' books all day. And the fact of the matter is that the thing about the kids' books is that they're the only things that make any money. Guys, write a kids' book.
Get on it.
Write a nonfiction kids' book about a topic only you can write, and you will roll in the pennies.
This is why you tuned into the podcast today. So
that's my career advice. Write a nonfiction kids' book about only the something you can write about.
Get those rolls of coins.
And then you write the new edition every 3 to 5 years, and those pennies, they come rolling.
Yeah.
They come rolling.
Get on it.
But the fact is that those kids' books are not the thing that's going to get me, you know, Margaret Atwood the Testament's kind of fame. Not that anyone has that fame except her, but still.
True. Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
So we've already kind of addressed this idea of shame, but like, how, do you have any tips for overcoming sort of this feeling yourself? Like, and I also don't just mean people who have written books and have stopped, but also people who feel like they don't consider they have a substantial body of work, or they haven't published a manuscript.
Like, they're worried
yet
about momentum and like,
at any stage. Okay. Like, I think there are probably so many people who feel these things, and they haven't been privileged enough yet or lucky enough to have a book published, but they have this fear about taking a break, about productivity. We aren't machines.
We're not machines.
Right? So how do we psychologically get through these difficult moments?
One of the things I always think about, like, combating that kind of anxiety, the anxiety about momentum, or the anxiety about, like, motivation or getting somewhere or being somewhere or, you know, filling this role that you think you should be filling because you want to be a writer and you want to be like have accolades and stuff, which we all want. And it's ridiculous to say you don't care about the accolades because that's a lie. We all care. I think that the thing that I've had to learn and I'm still working on is just being present in your real life, whatever, because the writing is not real life, yo. It's not. It's great and fulfilling and wonderful that you can produce this thing and you're being creative and you're filling that part of your life, but your real life calls to you also.
What if your real life is empty and sad? Then what do?
Then you got to be present in it, okay. I guess. Okay.
But that's the thing that I think about a lot too. Like,
but no,
as
but
someone
no.
who recently has felt like very lonely,
yeah.
it concerns me to be like, okay, well, how do I navigate both my lack of productivity and my lack of like relationality to things in my life, like people that I care about? And so I feel like that's when things get even more murky because to me, my writing is my real life. It's yeah. just one aspect of it. And I agree with what you're saying, but I don't necessarily feel like everyone has meaningful shit.
No, it doesn't mean
life.
You have to have meaningful
but
shit.
That's the thing. Like, I think it's so like the way we want to measure stuff is makes us feel bad no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just full of shit, but like,
but I don't think you're wrong. But I think it's like this idea of where meaning comes from or what real is.
There is no meaning though. Here's the thing.
Oh, Jen's getting so zen. Rosie's going to get up and leave.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no meaning though. Ultimately, when I'm like talking about being present in your real life, whatever your life is if it's empty and sad, maybe you have to be present with the emptiness and the
yeah.
sadness
yeah.
in order to feel less sad if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where the meaning comes from for anyone. Just for me personally, and this is only for me speaking for myself, is that when the writing gets all up in my head and I feel like I should be taking a break and all that other good stuff, I have to be very present in what I call my real life. And my real life is my life with my kid and my dog. That's it. That's my real life.
Yeah.
And really being present. And I find myself
Jen, quit bragging that you have reasons to live. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Please continue.
But that is where I need to feel present in order to feel like I'm actually taking a valuable break from the work, from the writing.
No, that's interesting. And I think it's good. Like, I think it's good to hear these perspectives. Like, for me, when I feel like I'm taking a valuable break, it can take on many different
aspects. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Like, sometimes for me, it literally is just allowing myself to watch TV for 12 to 80, 75 million hours. It doesn't matter.
But be present in that moment, yeah. Dina.
Or
real,
if it's summer, like going to the beach and just being there, like not considering these other things.
Beach.
Like being a place that I want to be. And again, I know we don't always have the advantage of being able to go the place we want to go or be around the people we want to be around. So I think you're right in that aspect that we have to find whatever that is.
And then just be there.
And go to it.
And just be there.
And also just, I think creative breaks can take time. And again, I am speaking as someone who is not a working writer. And in that I mean, I am not a writer who writes to be paid. So when I take a break, it is from my own projects. If I have deadlines, if I have things that I will get income from, I'm going to finish those first.
Yeah.
Always, regardless of what they are.
Yeah.
That's always going to come first. But I am speaking as a writer with a day job, with multiple day jobs, with other responsibilities. So when I say taking a break, it's not impacting, you know, my rent, all of these other things.
Yeah.
And I think that also really creates a different situation than someone who has made the choice or who has been very like, I dream of that life. I dream of being able to just like, you know, I know it's work and working from home is a lot of work, but like I dream of being able to be paid for my work appropriately so that I may live.
Yeah, and I will say I do have the great privilege of being a writer.
But it's also
a
lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It doesn't mean you're not working hard.
No, and I also teach and I do all those other things too.
Yeah.
But I am very privileged that I get to, I get paid for my writing.
And I honestly, speaking as someone who did for a while work from home, like it is easier to manage the juggling when you don't have to navigate
a bunch of different locations.
I mean, not having a commute
it is
one of the biggest gifts of my life.
It really helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to like do laundry while you're working on something, like,
oh man, saves so much time.
It saves a lot of time.
I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Also, I do go a bit squirrely though, because the only people I talk to during the day are dogs.
That's the downside. Yeah. You have to make sure that you're taking breaks if you can to see other people or invite people over, like whatever works for you on that level.
I have very close friendships with the other dog owners in the dog park.
I mean, as you should. Yeah. And I also just want to say overall, I think doing non-writing things, if you're worried about that, I think it's always great for your writing, because no matter how long that break is from not writing, from whatever it is, I think sometimes, yes, you go back into it and you're like, oh, it's hard. I kind of forgot how to do this, 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 and this. But I think overall it does bring a certain like little pep in your step when you get back to the keyboard or the paper.
You know, I've said this for a long time. Unless you're writing about being a writer, then you need to be out in the world also and not be writing all the time.
You need to experience some other stuff.
Like, I don't want to write about being a writer.
Yeah. 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 Like, I think, and this is a question I'm going to ask you, like, I think for me, constant focus is super detrimental.
It's unsustainable. It's not sustainable. Yeah.
It's not sustainable. And I think it makes my work worse.
I need to be out in the world observing and participating in order to write about humans.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. And I think overall, it's also good for your life. Like, it's good for your life to not just be in this constant focus on a specific project. And I'm not just telling myself that because my project currently is 5 messes in different documents.
I mean, it's fine. All I do is write about Bob Ross. It's fine.
I mean, that's what I want. It's fine. Honestly, all I care about right now is my very barely constructed sex robot thing that I'm working on. It's fine.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It might be terrible, but this is the teaser, listeners.
For friends of the podcast.
Whatever's going on.
Listen up.
And another thing that I just want to say before we kind of close out is I want people to realize that it doesn't mean you don't like writing or that you're not good at it if you were taking a break from it.
Just the opposite.
It's just the opposite. And knowing that you need to take a break, whether it's from a project, like taking something and setting it aside so that you have distance from it, whether it's working on something else at the same time. Like, I know I've talked about this before, but for me, working on multiple genres at once, like fiction and poetry, I find is very, I find it very chill because it allows me to just go into a different headspace without feeling the pressure. I think it's different working in nonfiction and fiction. Like, two prose genres is too hard.
It's hard.
But if you're working in prose and poetry, your brain is going in different directions and it's totally fine and great.
It's good for both of them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So in conclusion, Jen, what do you really think it means to take a break?
That was my question.
Oh my, we are so...
What do I think
I
it means?
I love doing this podcast with you.
I know. What do I think it means?
Yeah.
I think it means, for me, what that looks like for me is not working at all.
Yeah.
I like taking breaks with my kid.
Yeah. As you should. Great
kid. He's a great kid.
Great kid.
We were talking about, Dean and I, about the trip that Oscar and I took to Asia 3 years ago, and what a wonderful break that was. I didn't do really, I mean, I parented because you have to, but we didn't do anything. We played on the beach. We went to like fun kids museums. We saw an elephant in the back of a dump truck.
So many things.
We ate all the things, all the delicious things. And that to me is the real break. When I get to be present in the moment with my kid and just be happy that he's my kid.
Yeah.
That feels good. Because most of the time it's like, get your shoes on. Oh my God. Why are you pooping now? We got to go.
Like, it's like, there is no time for pooping.
What about
Quit
you though?
Pooping.
What does a real break look like for you?
Yeah. I think overall, I do think about breaks in both the small scale and the large scale. So for me, the small scale break is on the micro level. If I'm working on something and I feel frustrated, instead of pushing through, not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something we forget we should do, that we're allowed to do. So if I'm working on something, I'm like, oh no, I'm just making this worse. Like I'm, it's like, you know, when you're a kid,
just picking out a zit forever.
Yeah, yes. Or when you're a kid and you're like painting and you're like, I want to use different colors, but then you keep forgetting and all you're doing is just making like a brown.
Yeah. Just a terrible shit brown.
And it's like everywhere. And you're like, oh, I've not that brown is bad, but like, this is all I've done.
Yeah.
That's what it can start to feel like. Just a mess. So on the very micro scale, taking that break from the individual project in the moment, in the day, in the hour that you have to write, whatever it is, not forcing yourself. If you're setting weird guidelines for yourself that you have to do like X amount of words per day or X amount of time and you don't do it, taking that break when you know that you need it.
When you need
it. On the micro level.
Yeah.
Going a little bit bigger, but still small. Like, so then on the small scale for me, it's taking a whole day off. Or 2 days or whatever it is. Like allowing yourself to have these little mini moments, because we don't really give ourselves, say, a weekend. So giving yourself that type of break where you're not doing any of that work and you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna like do my gardening or play video games.
Whatever it is you do. Yeah.
Watch TV or whatever you
like
to do. Or do nothing. Like literally lie on the couch. If you want to play games on your phone for 7 hours, I don't care.
No.
Great. Congratulations to you. I respect it. I dream of it. It sounds fun. And then on the large scale, like you just talked about, taking a proper break where you aren't doing any work at all.
Yeah.
For an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yes, it might mean that you check your email or you do other things, but part of that is because for me as a writer, my work email is my personal email. And if I want to check things that are personal, it also means sometimes there are work-related things in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to always keep that in mind, that like those lines are so blurry sometimes, especially because also, you know, when I hang out with my friends, they're also people in the writing community.
Yeah.
So like sometimes, yes, thing. I'm taking a break, but it doesn't mean Jen and I aren't talking about some weird shit that's going on in the literary community.
Cause we always are.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily work. It's just adjacent to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like people who work, I don't know, in an office of any type or any workplace are talking about stuff that happens at work, but they're not working.
No.
I don't know why I brought that up at the end. It kind of just like made me think about it, but that is a thing that happens.
It is a thing
like,
that happens.
You're like, I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to like socialize and have a fun time. And then you're like, oh yeah, now we've been talking for 30 minutes about whatever.
All my friends are from work.
Yes. Jen.
Dina.
Even though we were working, this day felt like a break.
It was good.
Yeah.
I feel good.
I feel
my hangover is mostly dissipated.
So proud of you. I do always feel more free when we're just having these conversations.
I like these mini sodes.
Yeah, I do too. And there's something about them that even though I do prepare and I do this work, when I'm sitting here talking to you, it feels very natural. I don't feel like a weird, I don't feel this pressure or guilt or any of that other weird stuff about the productivity when we're doing it because we're in conversation.
Oh my God. So meta.
Isn't that weird?
It's great.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
We love you guys.
Take a break, please.
Take a break.
Again, as always, please add us if you have suggestions.
If you have a moon cake. That's delicious. We need to know.
I want to see a photo of the moon cake from the top.
Yeah, and then sliced.
I want to see the design. And then I also want to see the inside. Thank you. Okay.
We love you.
Love you. Have a good day. Bye.